Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to MBR, or as we like to call it around here, Nothing But Rants, the show where I find topics that I'm oddly passionate about, and I pontificate upon them. These are not hot takes, but rather takes that I'm hot about.
Let's shut up and grab some tape.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome in to the Film Guy Network on a fabulous Tuesday evening here inside the studio. Got an absolutely loaded one for you guys today. Mike Elko giving quotes to the homie J.D. Pickell going viral. We'll talk about that. Michigan fired their general manager. We'll give our thoughts on that as well. We have our off-season additions. I promise to you, we will bring you the off-season edition segment tonight. We got Auburn tonight, boys. I had a commenter tell me they watched all 2 hours last night, searching, waiting, praying for the Auburn off-season edition segment to pop up. We've got that for you guys tonight, I promise. We cannot go out of the national hour without hitting that. We've also got top fives tonight, several. Several top fives tonight on the show, plural. Hit that thumbs up button. Make sure you're doing that. Make sure you're fired off in the chat. We are live right now, right? Just making sure, because my Wi-Fi over here completely crashed. Got no idea what's going on right now, so that's good to know. Oh, we're back. We're back right there. So what's up? Fire off in that chat. Hit that thumbs up button. Like, subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. Always say like, subscribe, rate, review, because we are made readily available however you, wherever you get your podcast. Are people still podding? People still doing podcasts?
I do it every day.
Like doing
y'all it listen to podcasts?
I'll do it every now and then, okay. Yeah.
I thought the whole industry had just moved to here. I mean, the whole objective is to get you here. And where is here? Here is YouTube, okay? We want you here. We want you firing off. We want you subscribing. We hit 100K on Twitter today. Hope to hit 100K on YouTube pretty soon. I think we're at like 94.13, something like that. Not that I pay attention to it every day. We're trying to get to 100K as soon as possible. Make sure you are subscribed if you haven't already and telling a friend. All right, let's start with the news, as we always do around here, boys. I guess it's news. Michigan fired their general manager, Sean McGee. Kyle Whittingham didn't just fire the general manager today, though. He cleared the entire scouting and personnel department, like everybody, basically. All of the major heads rolled in that scouting department. And it seemed to me, guys, this was a let's keep everything intact until after National Signing Day. And then let's have about a month of meetings. And then let's clear house. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good decision to make sure, at least, first of all, everything stayed intact for National Signing Day. That's good. Whatever could remain intact. Well, they lost several signees because of the Sean Moore news being right after Signing Day. And guys like Bear McWhorter and Brady Marchese got out of their national letter of intent. Honestly, a bullet dodge there. That one not being in Athens, because that name perplexes
You'd
yours truly.
It out. Don't worry.
Marchese. I would have figured it out eventually. But no, they kept some of that 2026 class intact, and then just pillaged the village on the entire staff. What?
Apparently it's Christian's birthday.
It's not my birthday, but thanks, guys.
Yeah,
Chad says otherwise.
I put your birthday into an NFL credential site today.
You going to the combine?
I don't think your birthday is today.
It is not today. Okay. But I appreciate all the warm wishes, guys. You're a little early.
You're a December birthday, right?
Correct.
Late, early? How would you phrase it?
Early. You're always early. But no, I mean, this Michigan thing is I think the perfect example of Kyle Whittingham going in and saying, all right, the shit y'all been doing the last 2 to 3 years obviously isn't working. It got y'all where you are now. You can go ahead and get on. This is my program.
To me, I didn't think, apart from wide receivers, I thought Michigan's had good football players across the board every time I've watched them. I don't know how you guys feel about that roster.
I mean, they've been a talented roster for sure. There's no denying that. I think that the problem is that when you have the talent that doesn't necessarily equal to the results on the field, or you have the issues that you are having on the field that Michigan was, stuff like that has to be addressed.
Do you think this is any coincidence, considering that Utah didn't have a general manager until they switched head coaches?
It's a great point there, Jonathan. All of these coaches view this role of general manager totally different, right? Like at Oklahoma, I'm under the impression that Jim Nagy controls the roster. Brent Venables coaches the roster. At Georgia, they ain't no damn GM. Nope. Ain't no, Kirby Smart is that. At Alabama, Kalen DeBoer's got a very tight-knit relationship with Courtney Morgan, but I don't know if Courtney Morgan's as much of a general manager as he is the right-hand man of the head football coach. Everything, I'm under the impression Courtney, like, helps out with football operations, like what we're actually doing, not just getting players. So that's a totally different role. Whereas, like, Kyle Whittingham's like, I don't need none of that. Mm-hmm. And then there are other people that hire these guys. And it's just different. It's a very different role. I was telling the guys before the show, it's unlike anything I've ever seen in the sporting world. Offensive coordinators, they do it differently, but they all have the same role. You run the offense. Defensive coordinators all have the same role. You run the defense. NFL general managers all have the same role. You control the roster. Not down here in college football. This sporting role varies at every football facility. I think it's very unique. It's a different time, that's for sure, with regards to college football.
Yeah, and I mean, again, like this is a new head coach coming into a program where a previous person was a general manager. Maybe don't want somebody that you didn't hire kind of making the overall decisions or however the general manager was operating up there at Michigan. Like, there's probably going to be a different type of view just how in the NFL – typically, if you let go of a head coach, you're going to see a change in general manager. Like, it just kind of ebbs and flows together.
Yeah, I think that this honestly could end up being beneficial to Michigan. It's obvious that Kyle Whittingham is getting the staff and the structure that he wants within this program, and it's going to be his program. So I think that's probably a good sign. I don't think this is anything that's tied to, oh, you know, they're smoking weed in the locker rooms or the other scandals that have been taking place at Michigan. I don't know if this was a your cancer, get out of here type
thing. I mean, of all the storylines for me to have collected on a Monday night show last night, for me to go 2 hours without putting that in the show notes was crazy. That's a fault on me.
Don't worry, I got you.
You did. You did get me in the middle of the show. You're like, hey, by the way, Michigan football players are smoking dope in the locker room. Do you remember? Did you see? Did you see the news that there were Power 4 football players hotboxing their locker?
Oh, man. That's one of those stories that if it were 20 years ago would be a scandal.
Now it's a
joke on social media.
Yeah.
Yeah, 20 years ago it's, don't you ever send your kid to Michigan ever to play football. Do you see what they've got going on over there?
Now it's Ohio State guys being like, at least our players smoke outside the building.
Yeah, they step out on the porch.
I think the good comparison to this would be the Seventh Floor Crew, where it's like a couple of college kids made a rap song, and the entire industry was like, they're thugs. What the hell is this?
I think the Third Floor Crew would have been all right had they not mentioned fellatio.
Theory. But yeah, it was.
Or the idea that your name is Greg and you may or may not have a third leg.
He does not like it when that's brought up.
I know. I mean, quite a image turn. Obviously, you're a wrestling person.
Yeah.
There's heel turns. What's the opposite of said such?
Turning face.
Turning face.
Yeah, you go from heel to face.
I like that. It reminds me of that. We're good there. I'm good on the Michigan story. I'm also good on head football coaches saying that we need a commissioner or that we need a person in charge. Now, I am here for J.D. Piquel getting all these coaching interviews because I think J.D. does a great job of getting these guys to actually say something without provoking them to say something. Have you noticed this?
Yes.
J.D.'s getting great quotes, but it's not like he's out there trying to get coach to step in it. When I feel like most interviewees that are going for that type of stuff are trying their best to get these types of clips.
Yeah.
And these are coming out organically. Like this one yesterday, 2 days ago, Mike Elko goes on the Hard Count with J.D. Piquel, friend of the show, and basically says, like, can we get a decision maker in college football? He mentioned it's a $1.2 billion industry, and nobody is a controlling voice of the sport.
I get it. I agree that they're obviously a figure or someone that could enforce the rules that needs to be enforced in this sport would absolutely be beneficial. It would be really good to have something where if you break the rules or if you do something outside the lines, you're drawn back and to have this figure doing so. I do find it funny how in all the lead up to this, there was an organization called the NCAA that had all this power, and for years it was vilified and said it was evil. And everyone preyed on its downfall to the point where now the NCAA is basically has no power or has as little power as it ever has. And people are like, We need leadership. We need one guy. The idea that you're going to go from an entity that everyone hated to this one guy, this one figure, and they're going to be a beloved college football commissioner is hilarious to me.
Yeah, that's my whole question about all this. And look, it's such a layup take. Like, we need somebody to control the sport. Yeah, we do. We absolutely do. But will y'all actually listen to him? Will you actually give him power, he or her, whoever it is? If y'all assign somebody to be a college commissioner of the sport of football, well, will your presidents get off their high horse and actually allow them to do what they're supposed to? Or are they all going to be finding a competitive advantage to try to get around the rules like they have been for, I don't know, 140 years? We've talked about this ad nauseum on this network. Until y'all actually give someone deciding power, then maybe it'll change something. Also, even if you do give the commissioner power to insert rules on your sport, anybody going to do anything about that antitrust lawsuit? Mm-hmm. Anybody going to do anything about the fact that your employees aren't employees? Anybody going to do anything about that? Because until that, we can't actually govern the sport. There is nothing to govern. There's no power to be had because we all know that the antitrust lawsuit is the actual problem. So here's my thing. Not to get political. Here's my thing. Stop telling me that you need a commissioner. Stop coming out here and getting 2,000 likes on Twitter, being a boisterous man saying, please, somebody, bring me a commissioner. What you need to be asking for as a college football coach that actually has a platform, not just a microphone that has 100,000 followers or whatever we have around here, whatever voice we have, come out and ask for an executive order because that's what needs to happen. And until that happens, I don't think we're going to get this solved because, again, not to get political, and we're going to lose a lot of what we actually have in terms of audience right now, talking over the head of football fans. But getting over antitrust lawsuits is a bipartisan issue. It is something that has to go through both Republicans and Democrats. And the way to bypass that is for the President of the United States to be like, hey, here's the executive order. Here's how things are going to change. Now, again, not to be too political, but Urban Meyer and Nick Saban were golfing with Donald Trump yesterday. Just going to let you know that. Bet y'all didn't know that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. So that's what needs to happen. And until somebody, again, it raises up red flags nowadays when you mention anything political, but that's the only way this is getting fixed. That's the only way we're bypassing antitrust. Oh, you want to set a cap limit on what young people can make? You think that's getting passed through Supreme Court? Okay, get out of here.
Not only is it getting passed, it's enforcing. I like this idea that a cap needs to be in place is one of the most counterproductive things to me. We had a cap. It was zero. Mm-hmm. You could not make money as an NCAA student athlete, and they were still making money. The idea that all of a sudden if it's, oh, all right, well, the cap is now $25 million, that's all of a sudden going to be followed. Hell no, it's not. Like the enforcement, the idea that rules are going to be taking place in this is ludicrous. You just have to find a body that's big enough that can actually punish these schools that when it's taking place. If there were death penalties being handed out like there were at SMU in the 80s or other type of punishments given, there would be some sort of rule following in this, but there isn't. People are realizing they aren't going to get punished for what they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, my whole opinion on this is, sure, it'd be great to have somebody that would be a voice in college football, but I think they're, again, like I talked about yesterday with how I feel like we missed a beat with college football when we decided to vote on a new redshirt rule instead of talking about other issues in college football.
Yeah.
I think this is a similar point of, a voice in college football would be great, but there's other things that need to be fixed before we vote upon or name somebody a commissioner of college football, because ultimately we can do that. We can name somebody that, but it wouldn't mean anything right now unless we fix other things that are more dire needs.
It's the old chicken before the egg discussion.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Cart before the horse.
Yeah.
There you go. Cart before the horse.
I mean, we got to kind of allow power to be had before we put somebody in power.
Exactly.
That might be ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Also, by the way, this commissioner, if he or she ever is elected, will be the most hated person in college football. I can guarantee it right
now.
Won't
take long.
That is not a job for someone who wants high PR. Just ask Roger Goodell, okay? Because Roger Goodell has overseen the most profitable era of NFL football, and don't nobody like that guy. Nobody. All you do as a commissioner is you are the literal whipping post for the 32 decision makers in the NFL. They go, they tell you what to do, and you go be the face of that, and you take all of the brunt for that. Same thing in college football, except for instead of 32 of them, there's 65 presidents that matter. Okay, so that's all you are. You're a shill for those actual decision makers behind the scenes. That's what a commissioner's always been.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that the idea, and again, I understand the idea behind the premise of Yeah, we just need – we got to have someone making the decisions. The fact that there's a big group doing this is ludicrous. I promise you, you're not one Josh Pate away from fixing college football.
No.
As fun as an idea that sounds, and no disrespect to Josh Pate there.
Oh,
it's,
no,
it's much deeper than that.
I think if you gave him truth serum, he'd be like, I don't want that job. it's an awesome, like, what do you call it, marketing ad for him? Yeah. I mean, every time it gets brought up, the mentions are just, at Josh Pate, my vote for commissioner. I don't think he'd ever run for it. I think he's way smarter than that. I think he knows what we know, is that commissioners are unanimously disliked all the time. And there's that, like, chat's got a great one. No one's going to be hated more than Rob Manfred. Like, you won't do it worse than that guy's done it.
Don't get me started.
In the MLB. See what I mean?
Don't get me started.
So there are some guys who have, like, Adam Silver was the only guy that ever had a positive PR, in my opinion, as a commissioner. And I would argue that thing's gone downhill.
Yeah, he has an opportunity to have a massive uptick in that, but for now, it remains the same.
What's the opportunity?
Well, there's just an opportunity for, like, different changes to be made in the league right now. Like, something could be done about tanking right now. We're talking about expanding the league when we're already talking about maybe the season being too long, loss of money, all this stuff. Like, there's massive amounts of opportunity for Adam Silver to have an uptick in his PR, but ultimately, it's we need more money, 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 money.
Here's
money.
How you fix it.
Josh Pate ain't sick. He knew YouTube was going to crash tonight.
Is that what's happening?
YouTube mobile is up. YouTube on the laptop is not over here.
Well, I've also heard it's down on mobile as well.
So my YouTube's fine.
It is fine on my laptop.
Touch and go. I guess people will watch it when they watch it. That guy got inside sources at YouTube?
Man. Must
undisclosed
be
nice. Illness was YouTube sick. I got to know something. Something's up.
A virus.
That guy doesn't get sick.
Well, I mean, like computer virus.
Well, you said he's not a human being?
No, I just think he's like you. I don't think he allows. He
Who is knowing, he, Chuck Norris?
No. These guys are like Rob Lowe in Parks and Rec. These guys are like, I can't put sand in the machine. It won't operate correctly.
I mean, that's right. I do get sick every now and then, though. Like, I'm not a robot, guys.
I don't know. Rob Lowe was pretty robotic in that show.
You just got to take your vitamins.
Vitamins.
That's all.
Always loved the way Bear Grylls said vitamins.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm good on the commissioner story, are y'all?
Yeah, I don't think there needs to be too much more discussed about that.
I think we're good there. What we do have time for is top fives.
I love
top
fives.
I love a good top
five. We got loads of top fives tonight.
Oh, you said plural.
I got top fives on top fives on top fives.
I
have three top fives.
Do you?
Yep.
I have three top fives as well.
What?
Yeah.
So we have six top fives. Jonathan, how many top fives do you have?
Three.
So
nine?
We have nine top fives tonight.
Wow.
All right, here we go. Well, it's really three sets of the same top fives. Top five happiest fan bases. Top five uneasy fan bases. Top five hopeful fan bases. Which one should we start with? Should we start with the good news?
The good news.
The good news. Let's start with the good news. Who's happy, gentlemen? Number one's unanimous.
Indiana.
The happiest of all college football fan bases right
now. All 800,000 alumnus.
Yeah, hard to not be happy after being the worst team in college football historically, going 16-0, having a number one overall quarterback eventually, and a Heisman winner. Pretty sweet.
You know what I can't wait for? I can't wait for Oklahoma City / Yankees / Indiana / you know what I'm saying? They used to do these profiles. Y'all know who I'm talking about. The bandwagoners. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're about to add Indiana. Gone is Bama. We get to keep our crimson colors. And here comes Indiana into the Twitter bio. It's going to happen soon.
I could see it.
I mean, the Bama fan base 2X'd, 3X'd during the Saban run.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Like, how many newfound Indiana fans are we going to find?
I think Indiana's got to sustain the success for a while.
Okay.
I think you got, because like people, especially in our location, like we're in the Southeast, you can come up with the excuse, oh, dude, my grandma or my cousin or so-and-so went to Bama. Like you can kind of slide on the radar. You're going to have a hard time convincing me that if you grew up in the Southeast.
I'm a diehard Hoosier, baby.
Yeah.
I'm like, a diehard.
I'm a day one.
I'm a day one Hoosier guy.
I don't know if you can convince me of that. So that's why I think we saw the Bama fan base in our general region, but
I was
knows?
Sifting through the weeds of the Tom Allen days, all right?
I don't know if we're buying that.
Okay. But Indiana is number one. I had a hard time figuring out 2 through 5.
Well, I didn't.
I put Miami at 2.
I felt like okay. this was super easy for me.
All right, well, let's hear it.
Let's hear yours.
All right, I had Indiana on my list. Mm-hmm. I had Ohio State. I mean, you're still very recently removed fresh from off. A national title. Still a very dominant force in the Big Ten. Always relevant under Ryan Day so far. I would say Georgia fans are very happy still. You give a smirk right now. I disagree with that completely.
I did not put Georgia on my
list. I didn't
list.
Either. They're not on mine.
And here's my reason, Jay Will.
They, go ahead.
This team, and as someone who is in the fan base and has no complaints about things the way things are going, this team is not happy if they're not at the very least competing for national titles every Facts. Season, and they haven't done it in 3 years.
They've been competing for national titles every single season. They have had. They have been in the playoff.
Getting to like very close to the national title.
See, and that's I think that's the wrong outlook.
I agree.
In my opinion,
I
as
agree.
A fan,
like I agree.
Georgia has been the most relevant program for the last decade in college football. The most relevant program, like consistently, the most consistently relevant program in college football for an entire decade.
Jonathan, we interact with that fan base on a day to day basis.
Sure.
They ain't happy right now. They're not unhappy. They're not uneasy. They're not hopeful. They
That's
don't think the
me.
Last 2 years have been good enough.
Okay, well, I'm sorry that back-to-back SEC titles are not good enough for you, and being in the expanded playoff back-to-back years
and look,
is not
I'm,
good enough
I'm
for you.
More than okay Jay, well, turning this into a you are not,
I'm not
grateful
arguing
segment.
With y'all.
I'm more than
I'm
okay with that.
For anybody that feels that way.
Yeah, but no, like if you mention Mike Bobo, there's a good chance 60% of the fan base starts getting mad.
I mean, in 3 seasons, you've lost 3 regular season games?
Yeah. No,
they should be happy.
They should.
And again, I'm not arguing with y'all, but yeah. I'm saying, like, to me, in my personal opinion, whether or not they are or not, that should be one of the happiest fan bases in college football.
Here's where I went, and I think you missed this fan base. Ole Miss fans have to be in this mix.
Oh, they're
my
on my
opinion.
List.
They were?
They're
okay.
on my list.
Maybe I wasn't listening.
Well, I only got my to bad. Georgia.
Oh, and then we land-based you.
I had Ohio State, Indiana, Georgia. Vanderbilt is
yes,
on this
Vanderbilt.
List as well.
Yeah,
Vanderbilt's my then Ole Miss.
Okay.
I have Indiana, Miami, Vanderbilt, LSU, and Texas Tech. I think
that's why teams like LSU are why I opened up the hopeful category.
Here's my thing for I think why LSU fans are happy. Because they think that Lane Kiffin is as much of a sure thing as possible. And you just went from a head coach that you didn't necessarily love. LSU fans weren't crazy about Brian Kelly. When he got fired, it was like a very joyous, like, oh, we got him out of here. Finally, we got her. And then you went and got the best available head coach you could have. Lane Kiffin was at the top of everyone's boards, and you got him. You got him to leave a school mid-college football playoff run. You feel pretty happy if you're LSU. Now, the success hasn't come yet, so there's a lot of hope that comes with that. But LSU fans, I would say, are happy with where their program is at right now.
I have them on a different top five.
Okay.
I think they more belong in that category than maybe happiest at this moment.
Another team I put was Texas Tech, and I'm open to saying there should be other teams on here, but when you're recruiting as well as this team has, when the outlook is as much as is as good as this team is, you just came off a Big 12 championship. I know that things didn't go the way you wanted to in the college football playoff, but from where your program was 5 years ago to where it is now, if I'm a Red Raider, I'm very, very happy. So those are my five teams.
Indiana, Ole Miss, Miami. I'm with you on Ohio State, just not that high. How about Va Tech?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
They got to be happy right now.
Yes. I honestly
– like, guys, I think James Franklin's like a top 15 coach.
Honestly, I might put Virginia Tech over Texas Tech.
I feel like this is – belong again, going like same with the LSU – my opinion on the LSU take it being in this category, I think Va Tech fans should be in a different category here.
Of hopeful?
Yeah. I think that's more hopeful.
I don't know, dude. They just went
but
through.
But like that's where you're shit. At though. Like when you get a new head coaching hire, like when you get a Lane Kiffin after having a Brian Kelly, obviously you are happy with the hire, but more than anything, you are hopeful that this is the one. This is the one that gets us to winning a national title. Or this is the one that gets us to being at the top
way,
of the conference.
By the way, Chad did circle back on us and made a tremendous correction on the Georgia debate. They being the group that is unhappy, they are 9 times out of 10 always unhappy.
Yeah, unless you win a national title.
Correct. Which makes them relatively we don't really have to speak to them.
Again, my entire point on that is you may never experience an era of Georgia football like this ever again. So
I would
if
argue
you can't,
you won't.
if you can't be happy in this era, then you might want to stop being a fan of any college football team and just focus on something else.
If it don't get better than constantly top five, I do.
Like, seriously, if you can't be happy now, like, you're in it for the wrong things.
That's a great point.
So, but do you want to move on to top five most hopeful?
Is there anybody we missed?
I really like the Virginia Tech.
I
would honestly put them over Texas Tech, in my opinion. I know that Texas Tech has had much better results.
I wouldn't put them in the category of, like, top five happiest, but I know that many people, when you mention this program right now in this category, probably think you're an idiot, but I'd still say that Colorado fans are very happy, in my opinion. I would still say that they're happy. Now, this could go off a cliff, and it looks like it might do that based on what last season looked like. But I also saw where Julian Lewis was ranked as one of the top quarterbacks in college football heading into this season by one outlet. Yeah,
what?
Exactly.
A meaningful outlet?
It had a check mark. That's all. And tons of followers. I've never heard of them, though.
Okay, so no.
So,
all right.
No.
I think
I'm a Julian Lewis guy. I am too.
That's nothing against Julian Lewis.
He's going to be good.
But one of the best in the country. I don't know if I'm going that far.
Talk about college shots.
I think Colorado fans are at the point where they're certainly not unhappy. I don't know if they're happy anymore.
Sure. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, not in the top five range by any means, but still probably not an unpleased fan base.
I have not seen or stumbled upon one singular Deion Sanders has to go, fire Deion Sanders from any Colorado fan base. Now, again, I don't run in that circle a ton, but you find the memes if they're there.
Texas A&M fans have to be pretty happy.
Oh, we missed one. Illinois fans are happy. And we got a we were horrible for so long.
Yeah,
we got a fighting Illini in the chat. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, Illinois fans certainly
That's
have
how
to be
you
happy.
Know Illinois football is up. It's February 17th, and this Joker's watching college football live streams.
He's a sicko, bro.
He's a sicko, baby. He's a fighting Illini sicko. I didn't know those existed.
Mm-hmm.
Good to know. Now they do. A couple of nine winners from Brett Bielema will do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. They're up. They're happy. I like to hear that. Top five uneasy fan bases.
We haven't done hopeful yet.
You want to do hopeful first?
We're going to work our way down.
We'll work our way down to the vegetables. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Whoa. The what?
I think you meant
if it were on a food, I mean the things I don't like last. Yeah.
See, I was always attack those first, but
well, that's the opposite of what we're doing, so I'm going with the analogy here.
Okay, all right.
Yep. Top five most hopefuls. You want it 5-1 or 1-5?
5-1.
Actually, I want to. I wrote this to transition into off-season additions, but we can come back to that. No need for a smooth transition. You want it 5-1?
Yeah.
Number five, Auburn.
I have them on my list as well. They're actually my number five.
You know what?
Too.
I got a new rule. If you're a sicko, you're from me. I think Alex Golish is a sicko.
Mm-hmm.
I think John Summerall's a sicko. I think Kirby Smart's a sicko.
Yeah.
I thought Nick Saban was a sicko. Dan Lanning's a sicko. I think you got kind of like I think it runs in the successful ones.
I do wonder how much of that hope has worn off for Auburn fans because you're on your third. You know, hey, this might be the right guy for you in about seven seasons. All right, we've heard all this before. Like, I feel like Florida's kind of in the same category of, John Summerall might be great, and there's a lot of promise there, but we've also
Alex
seen
Alex Golish before. Checks the most important box for optimism in Auburn. Have you beaten the shit out of Alabama? And he has.
Yeah.
He gave him 45 that one time at home.
Yeah, I don't know if I put it
and he gave him a sweat twice in South Florida.
But, yeah, I mean, he scared the shit.
Buddy, 45 at home, that was beating the hell up out of an Alabama
they didn't
defense.
Beat him though. But
he
they...
did though. He didn't control the defense. Okay. He was the OC gave him 45.
All right, whatever.
You got a point.
Honestly, I didn't have Auburn on my top five. I was borderline in putting them in down bad category, to be honest. Because look, and this is why I say this because over the last two, like they had the Harsin hire, dumpster fire. They had the Hugh Freeze hire, dumpster fire. You're entering a new hire right now. I would be a little uneasy if I'm an Auburn fan of like, dang, this is the third hire in this decade. Why should I be any hopeful that this one's going to work out because the others didn't?
Mm.
Yeah, that's why I didn't have them very high on my list. But like Brooke said, like it does seem like Golish is kind of the right one this time, so there is hope, but it's not as much hope as it could be.
Now, a school that has seemingly tripped, fallen, rolled over, and laid in the poop is Michigan, but they got to feel like they came out smelling like roses, like randomly.
For sure.
You and me have 100%. You and me are spot on together so far.
Kyle Whittingham is such a good football coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he's such a good, I think, a program stabilizer. Maybe not like a, I don't know if you could argue that he built Utah. It was a slow build, if anything, it felt like. I'm going to have to go look at the game logs and the stat reference, but it felt like it was just 9-3 for 20 years, I felt like, or however long he was there at Utah, it felt like
that. Yeah, I mean, pretty sure he was pretty close to the Urban Meyer era as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He'd been there a while.
Yeah.
And I would
say Urban Meyer built it probably.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's more of a program stabilizer. Yeah. Like, the program is going to be stable under this guy for a long time, or however long he wants to be there, because it was I'm retiring from Utah. Psych, no, I'm not. I'm the Michigan head football coach.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're a Michigan fan and it was, oh, you're telling me I can win a national title, have two decent enough years of Sherrone Moore, then he's fired without any real, you know, contract consequences or us having to be bad for a handful of years, and all of a sudden our next coach is Kyle Whittingham. Yeah, like, I'm pretty excited about that. I'm optimistic. Now, obviously, there's a lot that needs to go right in Michigan. There's a lot of things that need to be worked on, but you're definitely optimistic if you're in Ann Arbor right now.
So he was the head coach after Urban.
Okay.
So this is a program, again, a program stabilizer. He had three 5-7 seasons and started coaching that team in 2005.
Damn.
So we spent 20 years as the head football coach. And like I said, we're consistently a 9-win football coach.
Yeah, they were undefeated in 2010, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, 10-3. His best season was 11-3 in 2019.
They did. I swear they went undefeated one year.
They went undefeated the year before he was the coach in 2004. That was the year they beat somebody in the Fiesta Bowl. Was that Bama?
Yes.
They got Bama in the Fiesta Bowl.
Are you sure that's 2004?
So, I'm not sure, but stats reference is. Now, I am looking at a 13-0 2008. They won the Sugar Bowl with Kyle Whittingham in 2008. So there you go.
Hell yeah.
You did have an undefeated more recently. So, hey, program stabilizer. Number three, if you're not hopeful down at Florida, you're just never going to be. I don't think. It's a cautiously optimistic fan base. I've learned that about them. They don't want good news.
So the reason why I might push back on this one is because now I have select few of them, but I do know some Florida fans. I feel like that there was some letdown of, oh, we got Lane Kiffin in the bag, and then it's John Sumrall. All right, here we go.
Yeah,
John Sumrall it is.
I didn't have Florida on my list because they're at the point where you got to give me a reason to be hopeful.
That's
like
fair.
Auburn's going on 5 or 6 years of, man, we've really been kicked in the nuts a bunch by our head coaching hires. Florida's going on about 15 years of it outside of the handful of years that were, you know, optimistic or with Dan Mullen. Other than that, it's been bad.
Who is the second best coaching candidate available this offseason? Because we all agree Lane was one.
Yes.
The moment Lane became available, notably available, everybody's like, all right, Lane's primary objective. I felt like Summerall was clear cut too.
James Franklin was pretty dang good.
James Franklin was up.
If James Franklin was viewed like we view James Franklin would have the Florida job.
Probably.
I think. Why is he at Vautech if he's what we think he is?
That's fair.
I mean, I don't know, but.
So, all I'm trying to get at is I feel like they got the second best head coaching candidate. I definitely feel like they made the best offensive coordinator hire.
Yes.
And the Brad White addition is the most slept on coordinating addition of the offseason.
Yeah, look, there's reasons to be hopeful, mm-hmm. but there's also 15 years worth of reasons to not be hopeful. And I've read this
Correct.
Before.
And look, this is me. This is my list.
Yeah.
I don't even think Florida fans would put themselves in the top five because I told you. They don't – what?
The chat's hitting on what I was hitting on is there's Florida fans that feel like this is just Napier again. Like they feel like that's what this experience is going to be.
Yeah. So, and look, that's why I let off with them. I do not believe this fan base has optimism. I don't think they know what that is or can feel that.
I think, the case for they should be optimistic is there for sure.
Yeah.
I agree with you there.
Now – number two hopeful program, LSU, just hired a massive football coach, paid him a lot of money, 57 new bodies and transfers coming in, a lot of change, a lot of positive change. You think it's going to be great, maintain Blake Baker, got Sam Leavitt, all that good stuff. But you're not as hopeful as the Texas Longhorn
nope.
fan base.
No.
You can't
Texas
be.
Texas is
no way.
One as well.
Texas has to be number one for most hopeful fan base in 2026.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, if 2026 isn't the year in Austin, there's going to be a lot of...
So you agree, they are this year's Penn State.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say
in terms of preseason hype.
I would say they're even more of a Penn State than last year. Like, last year was kind of like, hey, if James Franklin's
Yeah.
Like, this is a valid point because while the entire world or majority of the world, it felt like, was hyping up Penn State last year, I had my own feelings of, I don't know if you guys have watched Drew Aller play football recently, but not sure I'd be hitching my wagon on that team winning the national title this year. And maybe it wasn't Drew Aller's fault entirely this past season, but Penn State ended up in a worse situation than we expected. I have a whole lot more faith in Arch Manning than I did Drew Aller.
And also, the feeling for James Franklin last year was kind of like, if you're not going to do it, you probably never will. This year for Sark, it's like, you better do it this year.
It's a demand.
Like, it's almost, it's an expectation. And I feel like that would lead to, you know, a lot of hope and a lot of expectation. I had Miami on my list. I feel like you go to the national title after, you know, 20 years of absence. Yeah, Carson Beck's not there, but we just got Darian Mensah. We've got some
improvement.
We've got a lot of recruiting momentum right now. I would be very, very hopeful if I'm a Miami fan. My number two team is Ole Miss. I think that they have a reason to be happy, but there's probably a lot of people that look at that team last year and say, we could have won a national title if only Lane Kiffin had stayed, if only so-and-so had gone our way. So the fact that you don't have Lane Kiffin heading into 2026, they're happy with Pete Golding. They're happy with Trinidad Chambliss coming back. Keywon Lacy, obviously. There's a lot of hope. I don't think that they're happy yet, but there's tons of hope.
I think I put them in the happiest fan base category because they are a very boisterous fan base, and this is the loudest their voice has ever been. Right. I have never ran into more Ole Miss internet people than the last 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they enjoy being this thing
on
the internet. They enjoy rubbing people.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. Like, just getting under people's skin.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, they it's the most success they've had, so it makes sense.
Their head coach was that. Their former head coach was exactly that.
Yeah.
So
I'm trying to tread lightly.
I know, but I'm just saying that's kind of the personality that their head coach, former head coach, embodied his time there.
Boy, they are interesting on the socials.
Oh yeah, they're loud and proud, as most college football fans are. But they're a different category.
And you
loud
can't
and
say
proud.
This word without sounding like a sissy, but they are mean.
Yeah,
they're just mean.
Yeah,
on social media,
it feels like it's a whole bunch of people that just have nothing to lose, basically.
Yeah. Especially on a burner account.
Just saying, like that's what I've seen.
It's got to be. It's got to be the fan base with the highest per capita of burner accounts.
Yeah,
it has to be.
Maybe I don't.
You're not really on the.
I
socials.
Felt.
No, I mean I am. Like I see it on Twitter, but it's just like I don't pay attention. Like, oh, this is very clearly a burner.
Now there are two teams on my top five that neither one of you mentioned. So I'd like your opinion. I'm open for opinions on these, but I feel like they have strong cases to be on this list. The first one, Notre Dame. They should be very whole. Now, I know that the loss of Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price may kind of hinder this a little bit, but considering what your schedule looks like this upcoming year, considering the fact that a lot of people are going to be telling you that CJ Carr might be the best quarterback in college football, definitely one of the best quarterbacks in college football, like it seems like stars are aligning again for the Fighting Irish to have a great season this year, maybe one of the best options to win a national title this year. I feel like they're one of the more hopeful fan bases going into this year.
Yeah, that's
gonna have,
definitely.
My bad.
There you go. Just to say that's definitely a viable answer. I think that Notre Dame fans are extremely hopeful. I didn't put them on my list just because, honestly, I just felt like there were other teams that had more reasons to be hopeful.
Sure,
but yes,
that's fair.
CJ Carr is absolutely someone that you should be excited about. Marcus Freeman appears to be the guy. So
I think we're gonna have Notre Dame beat reporters say things like week six that this is the best quarterback in Notre Dame maybe ever.
And
like they're gonna talk about him like that.
But it's might be true.
Honest to God. Like well there's a Hall of Famer in there.
Yeah.
You know, didn't Joe Montana play at Notre Dame?
Let me check on that.
They have a few, but not many.
Yes.
Yeah. It's Montana. It's Brady Quinn.
Yeah.
Sean Kaiser.
Which
end of list.
College Brady Quinn was great. After that. That's what I'm saying. Like, they'll make the claims.
The schedule
but,
is poop.
Yeah.
Schedule is poop, and he is talented, and he's going to put up numbers. I promise you, about 6 weeks in, we're going to have people saying this is the greatest quarterback of Notre Dame history.
For sure.
I believe it.
Then the final, the other team I had that you guys didn't mention was USC. I think USC fans should have a lot of hope right
Talk
now.
Talk to me next year.
I have USC on the other list.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Man, I feel like they're. I've got an SEC laden uneasy.
Well,
list.
Look, the like majority of the reason why I feel like they should be very hopeful is you just spent a whole lot of money on the 2026 recruiting class.
Mm-hmm.
Something that Lincoln Riley had been laughed at a lot for over his time at USC is, yeah, you can get the commitments, but you won't land them. He did. He landed a lot of blue chip prospects and really good football players. And that could be the type of thing that completely reignites a program. Like if you're able to hold on to those players and keep them on your roster, like those are the types of things that creates USC turning back into a monster potentially. So I feel like there should be a lot of hope there of, we might get the right crop of players there.
Good?
Yeah.
Let's go to uneasy. You want it 5-1 or 1-5, Jonathan?
1-5.
All right. I'll give it to you 5-1. Number 5, the Tennessee Volunteer fan base.
Oh, they're on here.
They're a little bit uneasy.
They're on here.
Now, I don't think they should be. I think they should be realistic about next year's roster, but we know realism. And
are we the most pro Josh Heupel show out there?
Have to be.
Gotta be.
Have to be.
We talk more pleasantly about that guy than anybody.
I think that's where the uneasiness comes from, though, is because
nobody else loving the head coach up? Is that what's going on?
No, it's not that. I think it's 4 years ago, you were for sure. You would have made the argument as a Tennessee fan that Josh Heupel is one of the best coaches in college football. You would have made the argument that Tennessee would have a national title in 3 years. You're 4 years removed from that 2022 season, and Tennessee has progressively gotten worse every year, and it might be even worse this year. I think that is what leads to my uneasiness if I'm a Tennessee fan.
It's it's an interesting outlook on what to feel about 2026.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I based off doing the offseason additions episode we did on them, that surprisingly, this is going to sound crazy talking about Volunteer fans, but they seem realistic about what 2026 is going to be for them, either with or without, you know, what's going on with Joey. But it doesn't sound like it's positive for Joey in the court systems right now.
The thing that I would be I am terrified of as an outsider, not a Tennessee fan, heading into this next year And the reason why I'm going to say this is because I felt like this happened this past year where going into this past season, Tennessee, we had expectations of, hey, this might be a 9-3 year. This might be an 8-4 year. That's okay, though, because you're kind of going through a rebuilding year. Like, you got your starting quarterback ripped from out underneath of you, or he did that himself. Like, you had a lot of things going on. Like, there might be some reason to be cautionary about this, and that happens, and a lot of the fan base uproared about it. We're not very happy with how the season ended, and I think a lot of that had to do with how the season started. So this year, you can tell me now that you're going to be okay if Tennessee posts another 8-4 season this year because George McIntyre is in his first year as a starting quarterback, or Faison Brandon is in his first year as a starting quarterback as a true freshman, or because the defense is still kind of getting their feet wet this year under Jim Knowles. But are you actually going to be okay with that? Are you actually going to have the wherewithal to say next year is when we're expecting all this to boom anyways? Like, we're good right now. We're just building the foundation.
Honestly, looking at my list now, I think I should have put Missouri 5 and Tennessee 4. I feel like Tennessee's a little bit more uneasy than Missouri right about now.
Yeah, I would say so.
I feel like Missouri's fresh off of, what, 2 back-to-back 10 wins there. They win 9 games this year, 10 wins a year ago, 11 the year before that. I think they're all right with what's going on with Eli. But this year ain't going to look pretty.
It does. Like, if you're a Missouri fan, though, you are uneasy because it does kind of feel like you missed a window.
Yeah.
You missed a pretty big window
of
at least making a college football playoff.
Another team possibly a little too low on this, Clemson.
I have Clemson at my number 3 spot.
Dude,
I didn't put him on the list.
I tweeted it out today.
Actually, Clemson's my number 1.
Somebody bring me optimism around 2026 up there in Clemson.
No.
So I can't find it. I can't look for it. Can't find it.
And
Clemson fans to me are in the unwell category. They're in is insane asylum. Like, they're locked up already. They're in that bad boy for the next 6 months, and they're just gonna go crazy and rip their hair out and scratch their skin until it all settles down and they get it right again.
Yeah, like, they're
that's
my number
Tyler from Spartanburg with the biggest dub of all time.
Yeah,
they're my number 1 team for the reason of a year ago people would race to defend Dabo Sweeney. Would you know, bang their fist on the table and be like, you don't know what you're talking about. This is all going to be fine. Dabo Sweeney's a great coach. They've had down years. They're still winning the ACC. They're still competing high. we're heading into 2026, and there's a possibility that he's fired by the end of the year.
You know that video of Arch Manning aura farming over the UTEP defender?
Yeah. Yes.
That's going to be Dabo Swinney at the NFL draft when like five Clemson defenders get drafted in the first round, and they were poop all year last year.
What did you do with them, Dabo? Absolutely nothing.
You know, 500.
Yep. Tough.
We'll take it.
I had
bowl game loss to Penn State and the Grunky Funky.
But you know what? Our character metrics for them were right on. They were
highest,
dead on.
Highest in Clemson history.
Save me with that bullshit. Like,
and what do you
wait,
know?
Wait, whoa, whoa. You're not big into character metrics?
I'm fine with character metrics. Don't advertise it as like, oh, we got us a squad and then have that. Because if that's the case, your metrics suck. Like,
oh, they need to be altered. Like they need to be tweaked a tad.
Unfortunately. But no, I had USC on my number five team for, and I understand that you have them as one of the more hopeful teams, Jay Will. I think that USC fans are growing impatient with Lincoln Riley because, yes, there is massive momentum that's being built on the recruiting trail, but it doesn't feel like there's ever been momentum on the field. For as great as they were with Caleb Williams and how they went to the Pac-10 champ or Pac-12 championship in their time, things just haven't gotten any better. And they've had talented players. And, yeah, Jaden Mayava is coming back, and that's great. I feel like the time is kind of running out for Lincoln Riley to the point of, like, if this isn't the year where we at least show life, there's going to be a world where he might not be our head coach. There's also a world where they could be a college football playoff team. They could make a deep run in the Big Ten. They could make a deep run in the college football playoff. They have the talent to do so. But
I went with the lesser than USC on this list. I went with South Carolina.
South Carolina's also
now,
on my list.
Shane Beamer is king of off-season hype. Like, he is Mr. Roll the Machine in the right way, get the PR hype machine going up during the off-season, and then we kind of during the year. But they have to be uneasy, I would imagine.
See, like, I didn't put South Carolina on any of my lists because there was a part of me that was like, maybe they belong on the most hopeful right now. There seems to be a whole lot of hope right now. You guys don't run into South Carolina Twitter as much as I do then because
they're excited about
talented roster.
Dude, I mean, it's the same song, different verse. Like, it's exactly what it is for South Carolina fans right now. It's the same stuff that I saw last year, only this time it's Nick Harper is back, Lenore Sellers is back. Like, all of these things. Like, they chose to come back now. They're only going to get better. This roster's we got a new offensive line. We're putting effort in there. Like, I borderline put them in most hopeful. Because that's how they act to me.
Well, I'd be uneasy if I were
and there's
out there.
That's valid, too. I almost put them on this list, too.
I would be uneasy.
Yeah,
I'd be nervous as hell.
I have them on the uneasy because it feels very much like Shane Beamer's back is against the wall here.
Yeah.
And if you don't, at the very least, you don't have a competitive run this season, all those guys that are coming back for you are not going to be there in 2027. So, like, what is the outlook long-term for a South Carolina fan that makes you feel good? That's why I feel uneasy. 2026 could be a massive improvement. They could have another 9-3 season. They could beat Clemson. They could be this close to making the college football playoff. Hell, they could make the college football playoff. But after that, we're going to lose our best edge defender. We're going to, in program history outside of Jadeveon Clowney, we're going to lose our best quarterback, bar none, for sure. We're going to lose a really good wide receiver, Nick Harbor. Like, there's going to lose so many people that the outlook would make me uneasy.
By the way, the Nick Harbor stuff is still projection.
Yeah.
And it's still projecting.
Very much
that
so
he's
projection.
Going to be this monster wide receiver. Like,
well,
yeah.
You know. Last year, he focused on football, Jonathan.
It's great. And so maybe another offseason of that, and that's the magic number. That's what gets us in the right spot. But again, there are three teams that haven't been mentioned that were on my list.
Oh, no. I think there's a consensus number one.
Hear it.
Alabama.
Okay. Yeah.
Alabama fans
definitely.
Are definitely uneasy right now.
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
100%.
Do we have the right guy? Are we going to be any good? What's going on?
Which, if Alabama loses to Indiana in the Rose Bowl, 35-24, they get beat. Indiana wins that game. There's never a doubt, but they don't get flat out embarrassed. Are we having the same conversations about Kalen DeBoer?
I mean, it was ugly.
Because I remember that in between period of after the SEC championship when it was. Hey, is Penn State going to hire this guy? And Alabama fans were like...
And then Michigan was weirdly...
Yeah, Michigan was kind of thrown into that, and it was revealed...
Maybe
he was
the wife doesn't like Tuscaloosa. There's those rumors.
Yeah. But my point of that is, like, when all that came through, and it was like, Kalen DeBoer's like, no, I'm staying, there was a lot of excitement from Alabama fans. It was, oh, we've got the guy. He wants to be here.
I think part of that might have been due to the fact of that was happening late in the process,
mm-hmm.
and it was, holy crap, if we lose Kalen DeBoer right left. Now, who are we going to hire? Yeah. Who are we going to go get?
Yeah, but I mean, I do wonder if you don't lose that Indiana game in embarrassing fashion, how different people feel about it. But no, Alabama fans are certainly
slightly different.
Alabama fans are certainly uneasy now.
They're we did different. Not serve them a very tasteful dish on their last opportunity. You know, they got to sit with that in their mouth all offseason. So it's a good point, but I do think that fan base is very uneasy.
The other two teams that I had on mine, Nebraska fans. Now maybe you're in the same category as Clemson fans right now, but I'd be uneasy if I was a Cornhusker fan. I wouldn't be feeling too great about the future of this program at the very moment.
I think they feel like they might have got okie-doked.
Is tanking
nothing worse as a fan than a false sense of hope?
Is tanking a thing in college football? Because I think that's what Nebraska's doing right now. Like maybe Florida State's the premier example of this, where it's like, yep, we're just going to suck.
We're
like,
just punting on 26.
Why? I don't know. To save some money so we can maybe one day afford this buyout and get the guy we want other than Mike Norvell? I don't know. But
why spend $30 million on a competitive roster when we're trying to fire our coach?
Nebraska got Matt Rhule back. Great. Watch Dylan Raiola walk out the door. It was like
to sit, by the way.
Yeah, to sit on the bench. And they were like, we're just not going to spend money. Transfer portal players, don't need them. These guys we got on the roster, they're with us.
Yeah,
I think this is what we're rocking up here.
I think Nebraska, I would say that they're not even on the uneasy category anymore because they're just certain it's going to be bad.
They're just brown paper bag.
They're in check like, with the mouthpiece.
they're in Florida State territory where it's like, I don't even have doubts. I know it's going to be ass this year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And then the other team, and I'm probably going to get some weird looks when I say this team, but Georgia Tech. I'd be uneasy if I was a Georgia Tech fan
right now. I don't
hate
this take, actually.
I would be uneasy because as great as the last two seasons have been, as much as it has looked like Brent Key is the guy, he's been a great head coach for Georgia Tech up to this point. Losing your offensive coordinator, that's a gut check. And that's also a moment where it's like, a lot of the success we've had recently really hinged on the offense being very productive. You lose Haynes King, that's a major piece. On top of that, you lose Aaron Filo, who you all expected to be your starting quarterback. So he's now with your offensive coordinator with the Florida Gators. And then you also lost some other pieces on this roster. But, hey, you got Justice Haynes. That's great. Other than that, I don't know like how I would feel about where I expect this program to move now, moving forward, because things were so great at one point in time, and now it feels like you took a huge step back this offseason. You got to work your way back up there.
That's a fair take, honestly. I like this. I don't know if they're top five uneasiest, but I'm definitely worried if I'm a Georgia Tech fan.
I think they finally started to care, too. That's yes. What's scary.
Oh, you start out 8-0. It's like, hey – we're back.
That Pitt home game, man, that's a crusher. Mm-hmm. I think that was the first primetime night game that they had sold out basically by themselves.
Yep.
Now, they played Georgia in some night games in the last 15 years at that place, and it's been sold out.
Mm-hmm.
But not like they were supposed to do for that Pitt game. They sold that bitch out on a Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
and they open up 28-0. That's ugly.
That's tough. Ugly.
That was a tough loss. I remember watching that. Or talking about that on Sunday when mm-hmm. we came back in. I was like, damn, man. That program does not have a lot of, let's get up for this one. And then we get up, and it's like,
you know what else would be a tough loss?
What?
Not paying attention to our friends over at Sleeper. Come on. For those of you who don't know by now, Sleeper is a fantasy sports and real money gaming app that is focused on bringing you, the people, together through sports and gaming. It has become the fastest organically growing platform in the world and has some of the highest active user engagement in the industry. At Sleeper, it's not just about sports. It's about building personal connections and lasting memories. And they have recently added a new feature, the team picks for selections, where you can pick teams to win games instead of just player props. It's a lot of fun. Go head over there today. If you use promo code Brooks, you will get a 100% deposit match up to $100. Terms and conditions apply. One more time, that promo code is Brooks. Thank you to our friends over at Sleeper.
Shout out to the friends over at Sleeper. Shout out to the friends down there on the plains,
yes,
ladies and gentlemen. It's a beautiful campus.
It really is.
I mean, my favorite.
It's a great place to go and see a game, anything. Like, just go walk around.
You can say anything you want about
college town.
Any school. Auburn has one of the best campuses.
Now, the $42,000 out-of-state tuition might contribute to that just a tad.
Understandable.
My God, what a beautiful campus.
Oh, yes.
What an absolutely gorgeous place to be and to be a coach. Coaching football like Alex Golish is. Let's talk about it. Where do you want to start with the overall? We should probably start with the head football coach. Alex Golish comes in and most importantly retains. I know it's an addition segment, but I thought the retention of DJ Durkin was probably the most important thing that they did this offseason because they still have a really, really promising defense despite some of the losses, right? Jared Smith, the former five-star, comes back at the edge rusher position. Xavier Atkins at the linebacker position was a freshman All-American. I don't know if he got voted that. He would have been voted that on my list. I thought he was tremendous last year. DeMarcus Riddick, a young linebacker, going into his third year. It's going to be a big year for him. He was a highly touted recruit coming out of high school. Melendez, the freshman linebacker, wore number 9 for those guys last year. If you're not a names guy, if you're a numbers guy like me, he was a freshman, played really, really good football. He comes back in this same system, as does Bryce Dees. And you guys know I'm an Eric Winters guy, all right? The kid out of Alabama that played as a freshman, wears 25 for them at safety. He's really, really good as well. So the defense has stayed together for the most part. Now, you lose a guy like Amaris Williams. We lose some guys to the NFL. That's kind of par for the course in the SEC nowadays, okay? But one thing I've always noticed about Auburn, and I don't know if you guys feel this way about them, but I've covered the SEC religiously since 2019, and I don't think Auburn's ever had a bad defensive line. Like, just absolute slop. They've always been they've always had two or three, like, shit, man, whoa, that guy's really, really good.
Like NFL guys.
Yeah, like NFL dudes. And I think it will remain that way. And the reason being, I think the state of Alabama produces defensive linemen at a higher rate than anybody else. That's what I have noticed about this industry. When you cover recruiting like I, you know, got my roots doing, you notice very quickly Alabama's got great defensive linemen, and they constantly do. I don't know what it is about high school football out there, but they produce really, really well. Now, here's the deal. Auburn folks, if you've watched me before, if you watched the show before, you may or may not like what I say, but I'm going to tell you what I feel, and I'm not going to lie to you like I'm about to do right now. If I sat here and told you I knew hardly anything about the 39 transfers that y'all have added, I'd be lying to your face. Okay, I would, because it's a lot of people, and I'm going to be honest with you, there's not a lot of outside of Byron Browns, not a lot of names, not a lot of big-time names. What you've got is a lot of production. You've got a lot of football players that are coming to you from places where they've taken a lot of snaps. I'll talk about Byron just for a second. I think this guy's legit. I think this guy's a terrifying proposition for defensive coordinators because of his physical abilities. He is the biggest 6'3" you will ever see in your life. He feels 6'6". He feels that large, and he plays that large with that much horsepower is the word that I would use to describe Byron. 6'3", 230, 235 pounds, and he's a tremendous athlete, okay? This isn't like, oh, man, he runs fast. No, we got metrics. We have 23 miles an hour in-game on this kid. So he is a very, very unique athlete and a very big problem for defensive coordinators. We talk a lot about high school additions on this channel quite a bit. Auburn doesn't have a tremendous high school class to talk about because they fired Hugh Freeze right before National Signing Day, and that makes sense as to why they didn't retain a ton of kids. But when you look at it, guys, they signed 21 high school football players on a brand new staff, and these guys didn't really go anywhere. And they added some guys late, like Brady Marchese, the former Casey, the former Georgia commit, the former Michigan signee, and now an Auburn Tiger. And I think he kind of sums up what they have, apart from Shedarius Tootle. Shedarius Tootle's a blue chipper. That's a guy that has a potential to have an NFL profile very, very quickly at 6'3", 240 pounds playing linebacker. He's a great prospect. The rest of the class is really good football players that are missing an attribute, right? The Brady Marchese kid's only about 5'11". I feel the same way about a kid like Deshaun Spencer. I don't know if you guys remember, but we went to the Under Armour event in Atlanta last year. And this Deshaun Spencer kid's tearing everybody up left and right. I'm like, who is this kid? Turns out, he's the kid from Sarah Land. Do you remember watching him? And I told you, hey, this is Ryan Williams' replacement.
Oh, yeah.
And we watched that tape, and it was electric. Guess where he's at? He's at Auburn now, okay? And I think he's going to play pretty early on because he fits this system. This is a flat-out burner, is Deshaun Spencer. went for 2,500 yards the last 2 years of high school football down there in Mobile.
Jeez.
Well, Sarah Land is close to Mobile. It basically feels like it's swamp land out there in the pit, armpit of that bottom end of Alabama down there.
Yeah.
Not to say it's a pit.
I think in addition, like Jaquez Wilkes could also play off in their defensive unit. I think that it's not a glamorous, super sexy, oh my God, this is going to immediately turn the program around class, but I think that if you wanted that type of thing, you're just putting yourself at more risk. This seems like a fantastic foundation building. And yeah, there's 39 transfers on here or however many, but a good portion of them are guys that have played under Alex Golish, have experience under Alex Golish, and I have a rapport with him so that it's not going to be as much of a learning curve. It'll be more of a plug-and-play system.
Yeah, 12 of the 39 additions from South Florida, most of those offensive football players, which is good. We didn't need to bring any of your guys on the defensive side of the football, baby. We got them, right? It's like that scene in Remember the Titans. It's like, you keep your guys over there. We're good over here. Mm-hmm. Defensively, they're good. We don't need none of that. Y'all do whatever you need to kind of make sure the offense is whole over there on your side. We're good over here. I want to go back to that thing we said about him earlier. I think Alex Golish is a lunatic. I think he's a psycho. I think he's a sicko. I think he's a football lunatic. And they just fired a football coach that spent every Sunday on the golf course. We'll see you on the other side of the break.